When we finished eating, they'll enter with a whole pile of different fruits and more of the fine beverage. We sat and talked for a while until it's time to go out and look at the surroundings, with all its clean and nice colors. We sit on the disc and fly over the next hill. Down there is what I think is a great city, but it was obviously wrong. It is their industrial park. In some parts of the buildings, I do not get access. That is where they manufacture components to their ships and other machines. Elsewhere manufactured furniture, fabrics and such things that are used daily. I can see that there are craftsmen who work with their hands, but most are produced in large machines, of a type in which one puts in a tree at one end and gets a ready-made cabinets in the other. As we have seen these industries, so we go a bit further away, to a large farm where it is produced foods. There are cattle that are similar to our beef cattle and lots of birds about the size of our geese. The cattle goes loose in an area which she says is as big as Skane and Smallon together. But they are served by the small-sized ones, which makes sure that everything works as it should. I wonder if it really can work. What if it becomes an epidemic of any kind? It is many years since the last epidemic was raging. We have made sure that there may be no more. When we finish watching this, so she says that we should visit a lake where she used to sit and do her homework and where she writes down everything about me that has happened over the last 30 years. The whole time we've been together, she looked a little strange to me, as if she wanted to say something specific. We get up in the disc to continue over a landscape that I thought did not exist. We pass a zoo. She says that there are many animal species from Earth and from other places. Now we can see a large lake to appear before us. We go down on an island that is many hundred square meters. We go a bit and get to something that most resembles a garden pavilion, arbor. We go in and sit at a large table. She asks if I want a cup of tea, and I accept. As she picks up the obligatory mug and some biscuits, I cannot help but admire her. It feels just like when I was in love for the first time. She picks up some magazines and books that she has done in school. Have I not been flabbergasted before, so I be it now. These books dealt with most of my life, with pictures and text. And what pictures? They were so vivid that I could take and pick out myself and put on the table. I saw my youth, yes, almost experience it again. Comment. Maybe some 3D pictures. And if we look at how much the high technology have brought forth the last 20 years regarding cameras and cell phones, one can only guess how high the technology have reached on such planets which are some hundreds years ahead of us. Rune comment, and we go on from Auntie's book published in 90s in Sweden. But it was not finished with this. She showed me also a box she asked me to open. My surprise was even bigger when I saw what it held. On the top shelf was a football with laces. In front stood a patch note tray with the text, "Football use June 6, 1956 by the object under examination." Every single thing that was in the cabinet had with me to do. There was everything from toys to a bike that I thought was stolen at the station one night when I got home. She says that it indeed was stolen that night, and knew even by whom, but she cannot talk about. It was stolen in all cases and thrown a few miles away. When it had gone a whole month and it still remained, so she picked it up. We sit for a while and talk. Then we go out and sit by the lake. She gets up and takes off her overalls. Shall we go swimming for a while before we go further? I get a little surprised by the offer to bathe naked with a woman unknown to me, but she says it's only natural to bathe naked. We have such strange habits and rules. Before we go swimming, let's go into the house to refresh ourselves. We are in a box room of some kind, and we are so close that I can feel her skin against mine. She presses a button and it starts to spray water from all directions. I feel a faint odor of a flower, and while I become slippery as an eel. After a while they clean water, but so soft that it hardly feels. When it ends it starts fanning us from a hairdryer. After half a minute, we are dry and ready to go in the water, which is crystal clear and incredibly soft. When we finished swimming, we go in and drink a cup of tea and chat a while. We go back to the valley and parks the disc on a small marketplace. Here is life and a hustle and bustle, but none of the others seem to notice me. Around the square, market, there are small shops and we are entering a so that I can see how it looks. There is only one person inside, and for everything she do take in a shelf, she sticks a card into a slot. When she is finished, she goes. How does this work now? My new acquaintance takes up a card and show me. She takes one thing on a shelf without stopping the card and go for the exit, but it remains closed. Not until she read the card, opens the door. A very ingenious system. When a person finished shopping in different stores so she can go to a bank on the same square, she then gives her card to an official, who sets it into a small device and presses buttons. Out comes the card and a little note. But there never appears any money. We use no money, we deal with time. Time? I say. Yes, let's say you want to go out and buy what you need and want. You get so-called account survey, and a note, but it says no amount of money, but how long you have to work the fields or in industrial factories. Every such here small town is a community for itself where it is produced all the food and everything else you need. You do not work for the community of more than one, sometimes 2 days a week to meet your need or consumption. But some industries, owns all the cities together, and there you must work 3 days a month. If I want to go and study the earth, then I have to work about 3 weeks in the common industries, to bring in or collect as much energy as is needed for a trip earth return. We leave the square to go home to her for a meal, and it's time for me to return home. At her home arrival is there a real feast made on the table. While we eat, I tell them something about how we live on earth, but I understand that they already know everything. One thing she cannot understand, is why we cannot get along without the need to hold on and fight with each other always. Did you not receive a warning, when the first atomic bomb was dropped? If you do not rebel against it now, so will you and your children and grandchildren experience bad things, and finally cease to exist. Your planet will be a ghost planet, and such exist already a lot of. Try to get people to understand where they are on their way. You have seen what has happened the Delefs, and others have also seen it. But it is hard for a few people to influence the rulers so that they take reason. We also have governing organization, which corresponds to what you call the United Nations. Though the governing body is not here but on one of the other 18 planets, and we must not intervene. We tried to make contact with you on several occasions, but you are always repellent, recline, refusal. If you have caught sight of us, our crafts, still you have only said that we do not exist. Or you have simply tried to destroy us. But of no success, because if we wished, we could blow up your whole planet to pieces in seconds. Although we are against all violence, we have weapons, because far back we also used weapons of war, before we took to our senses. Nowadays, we use our weapons only for peaceful competition and for example to destroy that which you call garbage in space. But we have said, that the day that you stop with the nuclear weapons, and such, then we can show ourselves to your rulers without being rejected. It has even gone so far that some of us have become captive of your soldiers and incarcerated and then hushed up and forgotten. But we have taken them home, and many authorities already know that we exist. But they would not publish it, as they say it would be chaos if the public found out about it. But the real reason is that they are afraid that we would take over and they no longer have dominion over you. They believe, moreover, to exit for to rule the entire universe, as none would be as highly developed as human beings. But they know how wrong they are, because you are not at all that high, compared with races on other planets. We finished eating and had to leave. I hope you had a pleasant experience and I wish that we may meet again. I move myself from the table and thank you for a delicious meal and talking about how nice and wonderful everything was. Shame it was such a short time, I would have liked to stay longer. You're welcome to come back whenever you want, and the offer that you received will remain as long as you live. We go out and sit on the disc, which lifts slowly and gliding away. When we come up on the crest, we stop for a moment that I may see this paradise one last time, before heading off home. We chose this day because you would see when the sun and the planets go up. Goes up? I said, but it's been days all the time. I get baffled when she says that this was their night. That's when most of the work and the like are performed. On the day we rest, for it is too hot to do anything then, it will be around 50 degrees. Yes. But, when you sleep then. Once every 5 days. I say that I think it is very difficult to understand everything. Now it's just a few minutes to sunrise. You must first see an almost entirely green moon, just after the sun with its orange glow, and a red moon on each side. What I now see is so amazing, so I do not know how I will describe it. I do not know what that takes for me. But I grab her and hug her for a long time, and she does the same thing with me. The green moon lights up the whole valley, and when the sun and the other both moons is coming up, so it is as if the whole valley was bathed in a glow of the most beautiful colors. It's incomparable. We are probably holding each other in 10 minutes and without saying a word. Then we went down into the valley and into the airport, from where one of those small, round crafts brought us up to the big spaceship. When we got on board, we had to go into the same room as before, and sit down. Then came the man who I now know is her father and asked if I was happy with what I experienced. I've never been so happy and satisfied, I said. It's just a shame to have to leave this paradise after such a short time. I was told that I was welcome back. You know how to contact us when you're ready for another visit. I leave you now to prepare for the return trip. I hope we shall meet again. It was the last I saw of him. Then came a pair of fellow travelers, probably from South American countries, as I could guess from the language. After a while, my charming hostess came up to me and asks if I want something to drink or eat during this time. I get a cup of tea and she sits down so that we can continue our conversation. This about the life duration. I ask, how can you be so old and still look so young? She says her oldest cousin is a bit over 200 years and that she is probably good for another 100 years or more. But those who come to you from other planets, how are things going for them? She says that everyone gets the same opportunities and benefits as those who were born on her planet. They may have surgery when they become accustomed to the new climate, for they must be here a year or so that we can see that everything works as it should. We're talking about their 32-hour days and more, and in a short time, we are back in Earth's vicinity and has stopped. We go to one of the small bubbles to go the last mile. Why can we not go down with the big ship? I ask. It would be discovered immediately. It is too bright. We've been down with it before, and then you have discovered it, though your authorities do not admit it. We're just down there now, and she switches on the screen. We see how the ground was approaching very quickly. She pressed another button, and now we see images from inside the house where I live. They sit in front of the TV and watching Nutcracker. She pressed another button and instantly rises my copy. He says he must go to kiosk and buy tobacco and that he will soon be back. We have landed behind a grand spruce group, and have been going outside to wait for him. We see the car coming, he gets out and goes against us. We change clothes again, then he goes against the bubble. We stand still for a moment and look at each other. She takes hold of me, and we give each other a goodbye hug. She goes to her bubble, and the next moment gone. I look as it lifts, a light flashes on the bottom. I stand still for a moment and think about what has happened. Will I ever see them again? I take the car and drive home. When I arrive, I see that the little box on the TV antenna is gone. I go in and puts me in front of the television as if nothing had happened. Revisit the home planet, 850611, morning of 10 June at 6:45, after my wife had gone to work, the phone rang. When I picked up the receiver, I heard a voice asked what I wanted. I did not really understand what did you want? You've called on me. I was a bit irritated and asked who it was and what she wanted. You could call me Jenny. And you called on me last night. By now I think I recognized her voice. It sounded like the woman I had visited in the far space, and sure enough, there she was. How on earth can you call me here? To my certain knowledge, I have not called on you. But when I was out walking last night, I said to myself that it would be fun to see you again. I would like to know more about your home planet, before I can decide if I want to move. Can you be ready to go with me in 30 minutes? When I had brought me from the first surprise, I said yes and promised to come to our last meeting place. I called my workplace and asked for time off, and then I took the car and drove away. Once there, I parked the car a bit away and waited. I turned on the car's radio and listened to the music. Suddenly it stopped and I heard her voice on the radio instead. I was invited to come out now. I walked out of the car and out behind the clear cut there stood or hung the egg craft, and beyond it, she stood, the space woman. When I go up to her, she hugs me and we go into the egg and give us away. I ask if I do not have to go through the same treatment as last time I was leaving, that the procedure with the drink. No, you were given sufficient for 5 months, so, you can handle yourself fine for a while. I ask if we are on the way to her home? If you want it, I'd be happy. Actually, I have missed you some since last we met, but I did not make contact with you, but you would have to consider our meeting in peace. I say that I have gone and pondered on what I've been through every day so that I neither had the time or inclination to do anything useful. But I have also become calmer and more harmonious than before. We talk a while about life's oddities, including some strange experiences that I have had, and suddenly we arrive at the great ship that would take us to her home. This time I do not know if I'm alone earthling aboard the ship, for we are in a smaller spaceship than last time. But tea and bread, I get even now. I say that I hardly think I could leave everything at home behind me and settle me on her plane, although it might be tempting sometimes. I have understood so from the very beginning, she says, but I wanted to offer you, anyway. I would neither be able to leave my home and move to another location. But if you're interested, I hope you can continue to visit me, for you to know that distance does not matter. And if you feel discouraged and down, so you can call on me, because I are always here if you want someone to comfort you with. But it has to cost you a lot of work to take you to me, and it's not clear to me how this is to be done, this calling on you. If you promise me not to show it to anyone, I will give you one little thing that you can contact me with, at any time. You shall have it, and an instruction on how to use it. It's a kind of radio, you can talk to me through. And as for the cost to get to you, it costs me no more than it does for you to go with the car 300 to 400 kilometers. It's such a small cost to the joy I feel when I get to meet you. You've kind of become a family member through all the years I have studied you in school, and when it was decided that I would meet you, I was quite stunned with joy. Imagine being able to meet a person who does not know about our existence or that it even exists more than themselves in the universe. I was both curious and excited by meeting you, so I did not really know for several months, until I was told that you would be asked if you wanted to come here. And I almost thought that it would fail when I found out what had happened for you that nasty winter night. But as I explained before, they behave so foolish, in trying to get this first contact established. We had to start over and take it step by step, so you would understand that we did not want to harm you. We could never hurt or make you or your family anything against your will. I should rather warn and protect you against the dangers which threaten you, as you may be exposed to. Whatever your plans is, do not move from your homeland, because that and some other nations are the only ones who can handle themselves somewhat through the war that will to break out. If you insist on arming at the base you do not become directly involved in it, but you will get problems of it, with rationing of various kinds, and even about supply of energy, you will be affected. You will be forced to accept large refugee flows of starving people who have unjustly suffered because some do not want to realize that neither of the two great nations will gain anything by starting a war of extermination. This was said as a warning in the mid-80s, and just similar from many such space contacts, and some later happened the Glasnost era in the Soviet, and maybe the destiny direction of our planet was changed or delayed at least though this. Rune remark. And we continues, I ask her if they could not do anything to prevent this happening? With your expertise and your technique, it would not be so hard to put a stop to it, and there are also other things that you could help us with. You could warn us of disasters of various kinds, and help us to do something about the famine prevailing in large parts of the world, not to mention all the environmental degradation of our environment and our water. To that I can most easily answer, you must learn to take responsibility for yourselves. Should we intervene and manage you out of your difficulties, then you know that it is no matter what you do, because we stand behind and help you if things go wrong. Look at a social event, he need not do anything, just go and get help from social welfare, when he unable to pay his or their rent or their food. Where would it stop if people did not try to solve their problems themselves? All those billions that your army cost, why do not use them to grow up large desert areas, and build irrigation facilities and bigger and better treatment facilities for your industry? Then you answer it would be great unemployment. But it would not be so at all, it would instead provide jobs for generations to come. You would see that your crime would decrease more and more and eventually disappear completely, and even the abuse of alcohol and drugs would eventually disappear. Sure, it would take a generation or two, but would it not be something to strive for? You surely want the best for your children and grandchildren, so that they can feel confidence and security in life, without having to go and worry about the future. Now I guess I can reveal that we once had the same problem as you. We were also a war of civilizations, but eventually people realized that it was not right. They then took matters into own hands, organized and took over the forces themselves. They destroyed all the weapons and the factories where they were manufactured. It took years to set things right, but gradually the leaders went with them and they realized they were barking up the wrong way. As you know, and have seen, it went not as good for the Delefs. More than half of their planet became uninhabitable and the rest are not much better. Those who could not escape to nearby locations starved for many years. They lived in caves and fed themselves on what they could grow and caught some wild animals. Yes, they lived as primitive peoples. By now we had been lying still for a while, so she said we would take the egg and go down to her home and get some food and then take a bath at her island. I realized that they bathed quite often, for we did so many times that day. When we had eaten and drunk by that heavenly tasting drink, she plucked down some fruit and drinks in one basket we would have with us to the island, for it was the plan to stay there for the rest of the time before I would go home. That was when he came to the Make It Square I mentioned before. I was amazed. There was another woman and a man who apparently was waiting for us. It turned out that he was a Dane and that he had received the same offer as I, except that he had agreed to stay there. He tells that he had been there for over 4 years and that it had happened in much the same way as with me before he got there. He had not had any family. His wife had died 6 years ago and they had no children, so he had never hesitated to move. Nor had he regretted that he took this step. This is probably the closest to paradise you can get. 3 times since I got here, we have been in Denmark visiting, and nobody had guessed where I was, because I have told my friends that I had moved abroad. We talk for a moment while the women are doing some errands. I learn that he is an artist and that he sometimes helps on the big plantations. He is 38 years old and living with the woman I had just seen. I ask if they have any children, but have not yet. Is it done in the same way as at home or in any other way? I ask. He laughs slightly and says there are 2 ways to get yourself children here, either in the usual way, or you can buy a test tube baby from a laboratory. It is the woman who completely determine the matter. I cannot ask the next question before he answers that it is okay to make love to her whenever you want. It needs no protection of any kind, for she can control her body so she is not receptive until she wants. He wonders if I'm going to move here or just here to visit. No, I make only a visit, as I have my family to think about. He also points out that I have been a loyal friend of Jenny, that I should take care of. Now the women are back and we set off on the disc that I described before. We are going out to the island with a small pavilion. It feels like I have not left this place since last time I was here. In there is the cabinet with my things from the former visits, and on the table is a photograph of me sitting on the beach outside naked. When did you take that photo? I never saw you take it. I did it when you were here last, and you do not dislike it, no. But you could have told me, so that I had had a chance to fix my hair, as I was like a dog licked on the head. When she had prepared the fruit basket and drink, we prepare for swimming. We go out into the water a bit, because it is pretty far into deep water. I glance at her body and I see that she was aware of it, but she just smiles. It's normal act, so cannot help but watching her. She makes me feel myself as a teenager who is out there and swim with his girlfriend. We splash around for a while and go up and enjoy the fruits which she has laid out in her little gazebo. Then we sit and small talk a little. I cannot free myself from what she told me on the way here, on the threat of war on Earth. I ask her if she could say more, if so, then the war would break out. I can only say that if you do not stop with your efforts to find the various weapons of mass destruction, you will not see your grandchildren. So you think we would have a war on Earth within the next 20-30 years? No, she says, a war may break out at any time. But you should not worry on your part, your country will not be involved, but as I said before, you get problems in the different areas, and you may also receive a lot of refugees. Yes, but you can well tell me if there is anything I can do, or do you mean I should just stand there as a spectator and cheer on the best team? Shall I go out and tell what I have been told by you? Who would then believe what I say? I have no proof of your existence. If you talk about what you have been told, you will see you will get millions of people on your side. I've had my thoughts on giving out all this stuff that I have been told in book form. Yes, it is a good start, for it will be appreciated by all those who want to put an end to the military rearmament. But you should know that you will get a lot of resistance as well. But you will get help from those who believe in you. But am I not getting the church and they religious against me, too? If I go out to the public with the dissenting views of Jesus and his heavenly Father that I have received from you? Do not worry you. Ask the religious to produce a single proof that God and Jesus exist. They cannot. The man they call Jesus, you know, was a Dalek and that he is dead long ago. That he was perceived as a savior, it is people's own invention. If you were to write down everything you know about us and then waited thousands of years, then they would at that time read it. Also say that we were gods. It may not be a large error to believe and work for something that they call their god, but would it not be better to believe in themselves and their own future? Eventually, we go up from our meal to once again take a bath. I find that there are a lot of people on a nearby island, and I have also noticed a sun that I did not see last time I was here, for it was the last night we went swimming. Today is our day, which is according to your Sundays. So no one performs any work. Everybody wants to be in the water most of their free time. And, in that it is so hot in the day, we are most active at night, both in terms of leisure and work. But we also want to have some sunshine in our free time, so the sun you now see is artificial. Now it's time for us to go away, so we dress ourselves and pack the rest of the fruit in the basket. We sit on the disc and glide across the water, which is something incredibly clear and clean. She asks me if I have enjoyed your visit and all it has meant. I answer that I wish it was not the last time that I get to visit her, although I do not want to move over here at present. You are welcome anytime you have time and inclination. From now on, you decide when you want to come here. On the journey home to Earth, we talk about everything that I did not write down but I keep in my memory. I understand that they are not vicious creatures, and I'm happy for that. From part visit the seabird, 850722, rune intro to this part, and he taken to a base in the sea. About a month later, he was contacted again. This time he was contacted in the middle of the night, and was in a strange way only led to a certain meeting place. He does not explain how this leading happened, but says he finally ended up somewhere between Urshult and Ride in Smaland, southern Sweden where he lived. Here he waited and said that the same flying egg emerged, reported in present, now time, insert map of area. It stops behind me, a little above ground. Just when I shall enter the egg, something quaint occurs. It sounds like a car coming at a distance, and its headlight highlighting the entire plains, and I said to myself, now they will have to see both the egg and me. But what happens? I turn to the egg, only to discover that it is no longer there. But when the car is gone, the egg is back. I enter it, sit down where I usually used to, but neither I nor the man who sits in front of me say anything. We leave the place in the western direction into a very low altitude. Here again, a comment about this shielding of the ship, which he calls the egg.